Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to our PMA mini podcast series, To Team or Not to Team. Now, this podcast has taken a few turns, and we are here to discuss product marketing team structure with esteemed product marketing leaders around the world. I'm your host, Div Manikam, and in this episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by Sophie Chang, Director of Customer and Product Marketing at Chorus.ai, and who was recently acquired by ZoomInfo. Sophie is an internationally experienced marketing professional with experience in a variety of markets and industries. And today's episode, we are going to dive our focus into hybrid team structures. Thank you so much for joining me, Sophie.
Hi, Dev. Thank you for having me.
Perfect. So this is what I like to call as a quick snapshot, if you will. This is our 20 minutes of conversation. But if we were to start, what would be a nice, interesting product marketing team structure story, either a funny one or a risky one that you may have come across? And I'm sure we'll have parts and parcels of it throughout our conversation today, but is there one that comes to your mind?
You know, that's a great question. I probably have been pretty fortunate in my career where I'd say there hasn't been too many crazy or risky stories. Most of it has been that product marketing tends to be the catch-all for everything. If you don't know where to put a certain function or project, likely product marketing will end up picking it up. And so while that can seem frustrating at times, it also means that you get to experience so many different broad projects and areas of the business that you really become this jack of all trades. And so, you know, in past roles, for example, event marketing has just fallen in my lap. It wasn't necessarily something that should classically fall in product marketing, at least in my definition, but because we weren't really sure where to put it, we're like, well, where else? Let's stick it with Sophie, and she can kind of handle that along with product marketing and customer marketing and other things as well. And so I would say that's probably something that most of you can resonate with as well.
Completely with you, Sophie. And I think that's the beauty of product marketing, or what got me into product marketing, was it's a catch-all. So there isn't a clear definition. So you get the opportunity to shape it however way you want it to be.
Yes.
And as much as I love my event team members, the opportunity to go from, hey, we need someone to start and kind of figure out what this event should be. Like, I think hackathon was one that I experimented at Boomi, and I was like, I have no idea how to do a hackathon, but let's give it a whirl and see. And we had a tremendous opportunity to kind of bring something into our marketing portfolio that never existed before in the company. And they were like, we like these hackathons, let's do more. And I was like, all right, now we need to get people to actually do it versus me trying to put two and two together. So that's awesome. So what we're going to do is we'll have a couple questions, and this is more going to be conversational. Let's kick it off with my favorite question of all. What makes a good team structure in product marketing? And for today's topic, we're going to focus on hybrid. So the ocean or the is your oyster, if you will. So you can pick and choose as you see this fit.
Yeah, I love this question, Div. I would say it really depends on a couple of factors. One would be, you know, your team size or available headcount, the market maturity, or also your remit, right? Do you own product and customer marketing? Or let's say if you own product marketing, are you a full stack PMM, or is your team, you know, mainly focused on, let's say, sales enablement? And so depending on the answers to those questions, you'd really want to approach your team setup quite differently. Say you own product and customer marketing, like I do, splitting those two out into more of a functional team structure, you know, really would make a lot of sense. Or if you're in a really established market, like with known competitors, you likely won't really need a strong focus on competitive intel. So say when I was working for Audi in the automotive industry, it was pretty clear who our two main competitors were, and we continuously went up against them. And those competitors hadn't changed for decades. But then you look at a market like, you know, conversation intelligence, which is still pretty new and being established. Here, you know, more of a hybrid approach might make sense, where you likely would want to have somebody really focused on competitive intelligence because you're in such a dynamic market. And so if you can then have somebody who's focused on market and competitive insights, but then also have your PMMs really focused on certain parts of the platform or products, that can be a really nice hybrid model as well. And so actually just before the acquisition, I was starting to make the case internally for really building out a dedicated function for product, for competitive intelligence and market intelligence.
Awesome. And I, as much as we want to say, hey, competitive intelligence, market intelligence is something we don't know, we do in some shape or form, right? Especially when you think about the world of Forrester and Gartner analyst conversations. And if you want to be the voice of the customer and the voice of the market, resonating with them and having those pieces are definitely key. So thank you so much for sharing that lens. And it's amazing to see the journey that you've had, to see the troughs and troughs of how these pieces come together. So could you tell us a little bit about your team at Chorus and how you built it out?
Yeah, definitely.
Going back way back into the start of your baby steps at Chorus, probably.
Exactly. So I've been with Chorus just over 2 years. And when I first joined, I really joined to set up the customer marketing function. And so what I really loved about this role and the challenge was that we were about 60 odd people at the time. And yet Chorus leadership already recognized the need for customer marketing. And this really is a, you know, a growing function in the industry. And many established teams don't even have customer marketing yet. So to me, that was just phenomenal to see. And so I was really lucky to work for a company and leaders who valued product marketing and saw the full potential of it, you know, in its entirety of product and customer marketing. And so I spent the first 6 months or so really setting up the foundations of customer marketing. And we quickly realized that splitting the two out didn't really make much sense. At the end of the day, they're, you know, two sides of the same coin, really. And we were a team that was 5 people strong, so that made even less sense to have 2 dedicated functions, you know, for product and customer marketing. And so I ended up taking on both of those functions and really decided to shift the focus of product marketing away from, you know, more thought leadership and sales enablement into a full stack profile. And so that included competitive intelligence, more focus on product launches, and then enablement across the entire revenue team. So not just sales enablement, which we typically tend to talk about, you also need to enable your SDRs and your CSMs and your solutions engineers and so forth.
You also and so, partner enablement in that same lens?
That's a great question. I definitely would add it into that same bucket. However, we didn't actually have a partner enablement function. We kind of viewed that as an add-on, let's say, because we had few partnerships, but strong partnerships. And so with that, it was kind of really more working through some of those individual relationships versus building out that partner network.
And you can see how easily product marketing now became this strong 5 people team doing probably what 20 people are doing, from competitive intelligence to product launches and sales enablement, right? And partner enablement or partner marketing is one that I have grappled with throughout my career, where I'm like, it's not quite here, but whatever we do has a big impact on how that function and how that's structured. So there's definitely tight alignment. So yeah, that's an awesome way to think of it too. And I think the way you have looked at bringing not just sales, but your CS teams, bringing your SDRs and others into the same fold, because that's that end-to-end spectrum, if you will, of customer touch points. And that's a great way to think of it.
You know, one of the things I love about product marketing really is how we cover the entire customer journey. And so if you think about the way, you know, marketing functions typically are structured, most other people on your team will tend to focus on one part of the funnel, right? If your content, typically you're focused on top of funnel and driving awareness, or if you're in demand gen, again, top of funnel, but kind of through that mid funnel portion. Product marketing gets to cover the entire spectrum and really have a great impact on every single touch point with both internal teams and your prospects and customers, which I really love. You know, you mentioned before, you know, how we're about five people doing the job of potentially 20. I was actually running at that solo. So everything I'd kind of chatted through so far, it was just me doing both product and customer marketing from start to finish. And so, you know, that's the beauty of being at a startup. You get to do a lot of stuff. But also, you know, ultimately you get to the point where it's just no longer feasible. And so after I'd kind of been running at it for about a year, I would say solo, and I'd start to build up strong foundations and the right frameworks, it was finally time for me to actually start building out the team. And so for my first hire, I actually really strategically focused on somebody with a strong sales tech background. And so I tend to think of product marketers really fitting into two main areas, or if you're this, you know, purple squirrel, you're the perfect overlap between the two, but you either have really great functional expertise. So you're a really, really solid product marketer. You've, you know, got a long-standing background as a PMM. You understand all the right frameworks and best practices, or you have great domain expertise. So let's say you're an expert on the financial industry or sales tech, like I was looking for. And so, you know, as things were heating up in our marketplace and the sales team was just, you know, really needing a lot of support, I wanted a PMM who truly understood the landscape and what our teams would need and how to speak our customers' language. And so my first hire was actually an SDR turned AE, eventually turned marketer. Nice. And so she didn't actually have any product marketing expertise per se, but she truly understood how to connect with our target audience, which is half the battle as a PMM in my mind. And so from there, you know, we then had her great skill set complementing, you know, mine, where I just had all the right PMM foundation. So I could really quickly bring her up to speed on any of the necessary frameworks, which then, you know, kind of built this nice little package. And from there, we then decided to grow the team further, which then my next few hires, I actually focused more on, let's say, traditional PMMs with that strong functional expertise, because my next area of focus was really driving scale in the team.
That's perfect. And I think that's a great way to think of how a product marketing team structure is not one size fits all, right? Depending on what you need, depending on where you are, the maturity of the market, all of those factors play into the complex web, if you will. Sometimes I think of it as a Rubik's cube. Everything that we do, I'm like, you can turn any direction and you'll see, get a new answer, a new perspective. So can we dig a little bit more into the functional versus domain expertise? And what would you recommend PMMs focus on, right? It's an important part. And I think for our listeners, it'll be great for them to understand what that means and what it entails.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I would say there's really no right or wrong answer. A lot of PMMs I talk to, you know, tend to think they have to focus on one area or the other. And while that definitely can be a strong approach, I don't think you can go wrong with switching industries. So my career has actually taken a lot of twists and turns. I started out as a brand manager on the B2C side. From there, I actually switched through multiple different industries. I've been in automotive, I've been in insurance, financial services, you name it. So kind of across the board. And as I moved industries and physical locations from Europe to Asia to the US, I kind of fell into product marketing, you could say. And you know, one thing that I've really learned is how to quickly recognize patterns and apply the frameworks and best practices that I've learned along the way to a new industry or to a new function. When I took on customer marketing at Chorus, I had never done it. But I had the right background, the right frameworks, and the right tools in my toolkit, essentially, to understand how to quickly break down the problems at hand to be able to, you know, make an impact really quickly. And so you'll often be able to find some nuggets, even if it's not apparent at first sight. So I moved from recruiting, let's say, into the sales industry. If you take a step back and think about it, both of them have a pipeline that you're working. You're either working a pipeline of candidates and trying to get them through, you know, the hiring process as fast as possible, or if you're in sales, you're working a pipeline of deals. And so even though at first sight they don't seem similar at all, you can actually apply a lot of the same learnings and approaches across two incredibly different industries.
Yeah, I love that analogy. And I think it also puts perspective into how you think, right? Like I always think about a product marketer as that curious mind where you're never happy with what is the status quo and you're constantly like, what else could we possibly do to make this better? I love that perspective. That thank you so much for sharing. So if we were to think about our team, right, our beloved, lovely, caring, compassionate team, how do you complement the skill sets and talent across your team? And what do you think would make or break a good team?
Yeah, that's another really great question. And I think it's so important to really think through and make sure you're making those right strategic decisions when building out your team. So as I briefly mentioned before, you know, I was looking to complement my initially two-person team with somebody who had that strong domain expertise. And so generally, I'd say there's a couple of things to keep in mind and balance out when you're thinking about building your team. One is, you know, what are your own strengths and weaknesses? Do you have any known areas where you're just not as strong? Like maybe you haven't spent too much time doing pricing and packaging, or you've never actually had the opportunity to do analyst relations, but you know that that's something important mm-hmm. in your current role.
It's a hard one, right? Doing that self-awareness where you're like, you are a leader, but you're not good at everything. So come on, spill the beans.
Exactly. And how could you? You know, let's be honest, as product marketers, we have such a broad remit mm-hmm. that you could spend your entire career in product marketing and maybe only go through a handful of pricing and packaging projects.
Yeah. Or not even any. Because there is plenty for us to cover all, the whole gamut, right? Think about the enablement aspects. I always think about my aha moment when I actually met one of my senior product marketing team members when I took on the role to lead the team. And I was like, I just love how this person brings magic to the words that I put on the table. And that was it. I was like, you are the witchcraft of taking the words and our ideas and making it real. And that was not my super strength, and that was his super strength. And so I always, whenever I think about making something out of the story or the narrative, I always think about him. So yeah, it's amazing when you actually take that perspective where you are like, hey, together as a team, we are going to make this work. It's not one versus the other.
I agree. And I think that's really where the magic then happens. If you can start building a team that truly complements each other. And so it really does start with the leader, understanding their own strengths and weaknesses and how we need to kind of fill in some of those gaps that exist on the team. I would say, you know, the second thing to think about is across the entire team, are there any gaps that you still need to fill? And then I would also say, you know, what are your current business needs? And do you expect any of those to change in future? So, you know, for us, for example, at Chorus, we were doing a lot of analyst relation work. And so that was incredibly important because we're building a category from scratch. And only recently did Forrest and Gartner and the likes start to actually recognize us mm-hmm. as a standalone category. But if you don't have the right experience, it's going to make it really hard for you. And so, you know, that's something that you need to truly understand in terms of, do we need to invest in this area or not? And if you foresee that being a need, get ahead of that hiring need and bring somebody onto your team who can help you in that area if you don't have that experience.
Are you saying that if you have a report due next month, we hire today?
That might be a little late, but yes.
Better late than never, yes.
Better late than never, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, thank you for joining. By the way, we have a report due in a month. Let's work on it, aren't we?
Exactly. Make sure we end up in the leader quadrant.
Exactly, yeah.
I love that. You know, the last thing I would kind of just say to round out that question would also be, what are some of the shifting market dynamics that you're expecting or the trends that you're seeing? You know, as product marketers, it is our job to understand the macro and micro factors that are impacting our business. And, you know, with that, we do have a unique lens of understanding what do we think is happening in the market and how do we think that might actually impact us as a business? And so, you know, we chatted about packaging and pricing beforehand. I think that's a great example of sometimes, you know, if you foresee your industry changing, you might actually have to head into a world where you're redoing your pricing and packaging or slicing your product into different product offerings or something like that. If you don't actually have that expertise on your team, either yourself or anybody else on your team, you know, that could be a great avenue to start thinking about who you'd want to bring onto your team to help with any of those, you know, future facing decisions that you have to make.
Perfect. And I know you had also mentioned a little bit about bringing customer and product marketing together. Is there an aspect of that that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes, I'm really passionate about that combination because I think it's just, it's the only way that it makes sense to me personally. And I'm probably a little biased being a product marketer, but essentially the way I think about our role is that we truly need to understand the market, our buyers, and our customers. And so it's our job to collect insights across those three main areas and then analyze them and come up with what I tend to call stories. Like, how can we tell the right stories for the right segment? And that could be turning a competitive insight into a battle card that helps my sales team, for example. And that would be an example of how I'm, you know, turning a market insight into something actionable. But if I think about that across the entire spectrum and how we talked about that, we really are responsible for the entire customer journey, it just simply doesn't make sense to say that product marketers are responsible for the market and the buyer, but then somehow once it gets the customer, that piece now will belong to a different team. And so in my mind, you know, the customer marketing piece is really the other side of the same coin, as I kind of mentioned. And the way I think about setting up customer marketing is across three main pillars. One is advocacy. So how do you build loyal brand fans and then leverage their voice across different things that you're doing? So that could be reviews, it could be case studies, it could be setting up a CAB and then, you know, getting the right insights from your customers. The second piece is engagement. How can I drive, you know, stickiness and adoption within my product? And then the third piece is growth. And that's all about cross and upsell motions. And so those are really kind of the three pillars that I tend to think about when it comes to customer marketing and that I've built out. But if you think about it, it also applies on the product marketing side as well. And so you're just applying the same type of frameworks and motions across the three core audiences that we're ultimately responsible for.
I love that. Advocacy, engagement, and growth, I think, are probably three pieces of why we exist. But at the same time, I don't think we have laid it out that simply. So that's a great way to think of it. I'm a big believer of values. And I think values and beliefs have always grounded me to be, at least put a stake in the ground and say, hey, this is what is acceptable and what is not. I always think that my values and beliefs, when I think about inspire, influence, and impact, as organically as it came into existence when we created our first product organization, it became the foundation of who I am today, and something that I will continue taking forward. So when you think about values and beliefs, are they key when you're thinking about building that high-purpose product marketing team? And do you have any examples you would like to share?
I just love what you said, Div. I agree. I think if you don't have a team deeply rooted in shared values, you're honestly not going to be successful. And I also don't think that you're going to be able to build a high-performing, motivated, and happy team. Like, you have to have a shared foundation and understanding. And that helps all of us, you know, get on the same page of what we care about and why we care about things. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately also helps us prioritize our work and issues that arise, because again, it gives us that framework of how to think about things that are happening. And so for me, you know, the foundational cornerstone will always be integrity. That is the number one value that I live by. Mm-hmm. I want to treat my team and anybody that I work with the way I treat them, the way I would like to be treated at the end of the day, right?
Yes.
Exactly. That is definitely the golden rule, because that will help you build trust on your team. And people will always know what to expect from you at the end of the day. If you act on, you know, with integrity, you're going to have a very strong pattern, let's say, of behaviors. And it's never going to come as a surprise to people, and how you react maybe in tricky situations or negative situations, because you want to be able to know that you can come to your leader no matter what is happening, and that you're going to get the right type of reaction out of them. And so, you know, I really think that helps fuel that trust on your team. But the second thing that I really care about is accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to work for a team that brings their best every single day. But I also want to work for a team that I know that they've got my back if something happens. And so it's really that give and take relationship that you can only build once you've built that strong foundation of trust. Mm-hmm. So one of the values that we actually now have as being part of ZoomInfo, which I really love, is around improving 1% every single day.
Awesome.
So they push us to think about how can you just do whatever you're doing 1% better. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, at the end of the day, it breaks it down to all of these small changes can ultimately have a massive impact on what you're doing. And you don't have to change the world overnight. You can just simply, you know, spend that extra minute with your team member asking them about how their day or their weekend was, or just improving your process by one little step and, you know, making that a big impact. And so
that's where you can think about compound interest, right?
Yes.
It sounds very simple, but it's a matter of time and energy. And I love the foundations that you've set, right? Integrity, accountability, and this improving 1% every day, I think, is a key part. That's amazing. I can see why and how your team loves you for who you are, because you are authentic as you are, and you're trying to not just set the, hey, I'm the leader, I'm here, so let's get to work, people. It's more together, let's figure out what we need to work on and how can we help be the best of each other, right? And I think it comes back to those strengths and weaknesses where you have identified, as Sophie, I'm good at these things and this is where I can bring help in, and making sure you're asking for help at the right time. That's phenomenal. And that's why, instead of thinking about a high performing team, I think about a high purpose, a product marketing team, because I think that shift is happening. I don't know if it is a generational thing or if it's just the way the world is moving towards, but it's definitely there for sure. Thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the way you just defined that. I definitely think a high purpose team is a better way to look at it than a high performing team.
It is. And I think this past year probably pushed our leaps and bounds and limits and everything possible in life. And it also helped us ground to who we really are, because I think it, for the first time in my life, it gave us all the same basis where we knew we were all struggling and it was okay for us to share our struggles. And I would have my team members be like, Div, you're real, like you're not saying one thing on one conversation and saying something else on the other end. And I didn't think of it much because I was like, isn't that what everyone's supposed to do? But I guess those are some of the things, especially for product marketing folks that are looking to leadership roles. Are there aspects that you would say would help new product marketing leaders where either they are like, hey, I'm not quite sure, because that was me, right? I was an individual contributor. And when my chief product officer reached out and said, hey, Div, you'll be perfect in taking on your manager's role, I looked at him and laughed and said, you're probably kidding me, right? Because I am like less than 2 years into the role. There are more senior people in the team. Why would you want me to do it? And he was like, Div, you bring these frameworks and processes in place that have made us collectively, not just us as product marketing, but as the product organization, as the marketing organization, as the customer success organization, everybody come together in ways we haven't been. And that's what we look for in a leader. And I was like, oh, good to know. I didn't realize that. So what would your advice or tips be to help new product marketing leaders who either want to take that leap of faith that, yes, they can do it, right? It's somebody believing in them, or someone who is a product marketing leader who's looking to build their first team. And you have done both of those. So I would love to kind of hear, what did it take for you to take that leap of faith?
Yeah, I love that question. And I also love the faith that your CPO put in you, because I think that exactly goes back to what we were chatting about around, depending on where your business is at or what your team needs, you would focus on the different strengths and skill sets for the leader that you put in place. And so you coming in with that really strong background on being able to set the right processes and frameworks and foundations in place is what your organization needed at that time. And so I would say, you know, take a real honest look at yourself and your skill sets and figure out what your strengths and weaknesses are and what the business needs and where there are current gaps. It's okay that you can't do everything or that you don't even have experience in all the different areas. At the end of the day, you just need to know how to approach problems. And if you've got the right frameworks in place, you'll be able to find the right answers, even if you don't have any experience. And so once you kind of understand the lay of the land, that will then help you figure out where you need to plug the right gaps on your team to become that high purpose team that we just chatted about. And so, you know, a lot of people, I think, are looking to eventually grow their career and become a people manager. I think one of the nice side effects of building out a team where each person really has certain distinct, you know, strengths and weaknesses is that you can foster an environment where everybody can learn from each other. Even you as the leader are learning from your team and vice versa. And so now you've built an environment where peers are teaching each other and they're already gaining these coaching and leadership skills before they've even moved up into, you know, an official role of leadership, let's say.
100%. And that's a beautiful way to wrap up our session today. Thank you so much, Sophie. I think all the insights you have given can help anybody who is looking to go into product marketing. It can help folks who are thinking about what does a product marketing team look like. These are all questions that neither I or Sophie had answered when we stepped into these roles, but we are doing, I think, trial by fire, if you will. And it's a continuous learning experience. Every day, I'm grateful for the opportunity to lead a team and for having that coaching mentality, right? I always struggle between coach and mentor. And I'm like, either ways, I think we're all doing the same thing and helping bring the best in each other. Thank you so much, Sophie, for your time today and all the awesome insights that you shared with the group.
Thank you, Dev. It was great chatting.
Likewise. And to Product Marketing Alliance, because Product Marketing Alliance is always about processes and frameworks, I'm really grateful that we have that opportunity here. So thank you all for listening and have a wonderful rest of your day.